having grown up watching Ulster rugby for as long as I can remember, coming to all the games, it's the team that I've supported for so long, and to get the opportunity to put on that jersey, to see the history that goes behind it, some of the great players that have done it in the past, I never take it for granted, and you just hope that you can do it proud.
McDougall in midfield, though, interception by Conyngham. Nobody will catch him, he's far too quick. In like a sniper's bullet underneath the post.
I don't even know if I believe everything.
He's got Bow outside him, he gets it to Bow. Bow's in, what a homecoming by Tommy Bow. Welcome back to Ravenhill, Mr. B.
One ball to Bow, beat one, and he's in the corner.
Tommy Bow outside him.
Self involved and opportunities here back inside, beautifully taken by Payne, and that is outstanding work.
Tommy Bow is clear. Oh, the man behind him, a bit of Chase Mugwump. Tommy Bow is going to score for Ireland. They've won it again.
Henderson, he'll certainly straighten things up. Oh, it's a lovely pass on to Tommy Bow. Tommy Bow's going to get away. They're going to score. They're just a penalty, but a try just before half.
Is never gonna go our way. If I'm gonna have to guess what's on your mind.
Tower, nearly for Murray. Interception. Tommy Bow. The advantage is over, and the game might be as well. Bow does not miss though.
Little dig in a bit of space for Tommy Bow to chase. Bow gathers.
Shane Williams is getting him. He's not going to get the ultimate. Oh, in underneath the red cross. Holy God in heaven, what a try by Tommy Bow.
If you want to move,
it's away. This is going to be a second try. And what a return to Ulster colours.
Conor Murray, little kick. Onto it.
But under the cosh again here, and here's Tommy Bow, he should finish, and Bow always finishes. Carney, Earls gave it the call, Bow has gone through, Tommy Bow, is he going to score again? Oh yes he is!
Somebody's got Bow Wickham, what a wonderful 1-2! Two of the top wingers in the business.
And there's a chance for an intercept, and it's gathered by Tommy Bow!
Welcome back to Sunday Sport, and we're focusing now on rugby and are joined by former Ulster Ireland and Lions player Tommy Bow, the Monaghan man who scored 30 tries in 69 appearances for Ireland, many crucial scores along the way, it's fair to say. And delighted that you can join us today, Tommy. First of all, how's your 7 week old?
Yes, Jamie is 7 weeks and still not sleeping. So, I don't know how long it's going to take before that happens, but all good. I have a 3-year-old and a 7-week-old. So one thing is for sure, during this coronavirus lockdown, I am being kept busier than ever.
And is it the case that Lucy looks after Jamie and you look after Emma?
Yeah, we're pretty much working as a tag team at the minute. And at the start, I thought that was a great ploy, but looking after a 3-year-old is tough going. She has me completely knackered. And I suppose the no sleep at night doesn't really help either. But, it is tough going. It has been tough, and it's been tough adjusting, certainly the first week or two. But actually, we're kind of now into a bit of the swing of things and really enjoying it. So looking after a 3-year-old and playing through, seeing the world through her eyes is good fun now at the minute.
And I suppose in lockdown, the grandparents don't get to see him.
Yeah, which is a shame. You know, FaceTime is being used and we're having pretty much daily chats with both sets of grandparents. But both grandfathers, both grannies have met Jamie even when he was only a few days old, but neither grandfathers have. So, listen, it is one of these things that is a little bit odd. But actually, on the positive side of it as well, it means we can kind of look after just the four of us. We can stick together as a group and we don't have to worry about people calling over to the house and wanting to make sure the house is spotless all the time. And, you know, it works well that I'm around all the time. I can give Lucy that, I suppose, that break that she needs whenever she's not up feeding through the night and stuff. So, sure. Listen, as a parent, I'm sure all parents out there, I'm not having to do the school lessons or anything yet. So I'm trying to, there's good sides and bad sides, but certainly boredom isn't one of them.
Now, it's a difficult time, as you say, for all of society, but for sports, there's so much uncertainty and a lot of speculation in the last few days around the return to action. What's your own take on it?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you're looking certainly at football and over in the UK and even in Germany, I was reading yesterday that they're hoping to get football up and going in the Bundesliga in the next couple of weeks, which seems so far off from what we are all living in at the minute. From a rugby point of view, given that it's such a contact sport, it's hard to see how we'll go from complete lockdown into playing anytime soon. But speaking to a lot of the players, you know, they're very much, the RFU have set a directive for them to keep fit. They're training away in the house, or, well, most of them, apart from the Ulster players who got caught training alongside each other. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what way it's going to go. I think if you look at it, young people who are fit and healthy, they're not seeming to people who are struggling with the virus at the minute. It might have to be a case of playing just inter-pro matches in Ireland behind closed doors and just be televised. I mean, if that's the way it has to go, I think from the Pro 14 point of view, they need to have matches. We need to get the season finished off so that hopefully by the time the start of next season, it's pretty much ready to go.
Tough week for your former team, Ulster. They've had to put all their players and coaching staff on furlough.
Yeah, it's not ideal. But I think that given the way most businesses in the UK and up north here at the minute are have to go to furlough, and I know the CEO and Bryn Cunningham, the operations director, he was just talking about it's difficult times for these clubs at the minute. You know, they don't have any money coming in. Big inter-pro matches, big games where they're selling out the Kingspan Stadium. That's what they use to pay these guys' wages. And unfortunately, when that money's not coming in, how can they be expected to pay the players? So, you know, I look at the Premiership footballers and I just can't understand how they can question not getting their salary deducted, given that they're professional footballers and they're not playing football. So I think that it's not ideal. I know the players will be disappointed maybe at the revelation, but I don't think they'd be surprised.
So realistically, when you think about the Pro 14 and you think about the European Champions Cup, are we talking about the autumn before we get those competitions finalised?
Listen, I have no idea. I've spoken to a few players, I've spoken to a few coaches and some of the media as well. There is talk that we will hopefully get things up and going maybe by July, August time. But reading newspaper reports in the last day or two, that looks like it's a far cry. So, you know, the IRFU, I hear, are trying to go to the government to try and put a proposal in place where it would be just the four Irish provinces playing against each other just to have some form of rugby. But really, you know, these conversations, you just don't know what's going on in the government's eyes at the minute. I mean, how easy is it going to be for them to lift the ban? I mean, I'm very heavily involved in the retail sector as well with my clothes and shoe brand.
Sure.
And I'm speaking to a lot of the retailers about, you know, the lost business that they've had and how difficult it is that they've had to shut their doors. They've been told to shut their doors, but they're getting no support in the money that they're losing. And who knows when people are going to be able to go in and try on a new shirt or a new jumper again, given that you don't know who was wearing it before you. So there's going to be all these complications going to happen in the next month or two, and really, who knows what way it's going to go. But I would like to see sport up and going very soon, even just for the public's point of view. People, it's a bit of a feel-good factor, people getting to enjoy and watch sport. So if they can find a way around it, and maybe whether it involves testing of players, testing of officials, somehow behind closed doors, get the games on.
Mm. And I suppose it's a time of nostalgia. I mean, sport at the moment is surviving on it, Tommy.
Yeah.
And you brought your career to an end 2 years ago after 14 illustrious years in the game. Looking back on it yourself, what are the highlights?
Listen, I've been very fortunate. I've had some great memories down through the years. Of course, there was the Grand Slam in 2009. And particularly the way that game played out in that final game in Cardiff, to have scored a try in that game and then going down to the Ron O'Gara drop kick and Stephen Jones missing in the final play of the game. That's obviously a huge standout for me. My first cap for Ireland, being a man from Monaghan, where rugby isn't exactly a stronghold to get to play my first game in Lands End Road, was really a dream come true. And finally, to play for the British and Irish Lions, you know, that was beyond a dream. You know, I watched the 97 Lions video over and over and over again whenever I was a young fella. And, you know, to put on that red jersey and for four countries coming together and to play in two series in South Africa and Australia, you know, there's some incredible memories that I only look back at now whenever you're watching these videos and watching these highlights on the television. Remember, they're great days.
And back to your debut in 2004 against the USA, you scored a try, but one pundit didn't take too kindly, wasn't impressed. One George Hook said you were too slow to play for Ireland.
Yeah, listen, I think George said that a few times, but I think I look back at it now. Now that I'm in the media circle, I actually know that, you know, George was maybe just putting a few things out there, and maybe I didn't look too fast. I think I did have a rangy old stride. People were kind of saying that to me throughout my career, but I managed to prove him wrong in the end, and to be fair to him, I've met up with him since then, and he reckons he made me now.
I don't know how he would come to that conclusion.
Made me what I am, that's what he said.
Yeah. And we shouldn't forget 2010, because that's often forgotten. I don't know if you'll forget it, but you scored two tries in our win against England at Twickenham.
Yeah.
And you were also named Six Nations Player of the Year.
Yeah, listen, to score over in Twickenham is an incredible. I've won and lost against England. You know, for players, the Ireland-England match, it's always a big one, but it's probably, I used to get more nervous even before the Welsh match for some reason. But you know the England games, how big it is by just the supporters during the week. Even when you're going through the airport, going over to London, everybody in the airport is wishing you well. You know, the support on a Wednesday on your day off, it's just the whole country. It gets so ramped up whenever it's Ireland against England. So to go over to Twickenham and to score two tries and to win over there was a special occasion and something that doesn't happen too often. So I definitely enjoyed that.
Indeed. And just looking back on those days, I'm just thinking that you obviously went from Ulster to Ospreys in 2008. So if the current rule about players playing overseas, Irish players playing overseas, had applied back then, we wouldn't have had your try on that famous day in Cardiff in 2009.
But to be fair, it kind of did. I mean, the rule kind of was out there at that stage. I mean, Jordan Murphy and Simon Easterby were both playing abroad at the time and they were getting picked. At the minute, you know, the RFU are trying to rule out players going abroad, but they showed with Johnny Sexton that if you're good enough, they'll still pick you. And whenever I went to the Ospreys, it was a big decision to make and one that I knew was going to be controversial, and the RFU weren't happy about it. But one of the reasons I moved to the Ospreys in Wales and not going to England or to France was that I knew I'd be playing against an Irish province once in every 3 or 4 weeks, so that I'm very much at the forefront of the selectors' eyes, you know, that Declan Kidney, who was the head coach at the time, if he wanted to watch me play, he could see me playing against the Leinster, Munster or Connacht. So I wasn't out of vision. He didn't have to get a flight over to Paris, say, to go and watch me.
Sure.
And the other thing was that I knew when I was playing, I had to really up my game. I had to be the best winger available for Ireland. I had to be, you know, try and be 10, 20% better than, you know, the players back in Ireland, because if I wasn't, then I would have no qualms in somebody else getting selected me. So it was a real kick up the arse for me to really try and push my game on.
Yes.
And I loved it. Listen, it was the best thing I ever did. You know, I loved my rugby in Ulster. I'm back here living in Belfast now. But to get out of the bubble almost in Ireland and to move to a new team, try a new thing, meet new people, it certainly spurred on my career. Like, I mean, it was probably better than I could have ever expected.
Right. Well, listen, Tommy, it's been great talking to you, and I wish you every success in your new venture in broadcasting. You've moved seamlessly into the world.
I don't know
of,
about seamlessly now, but I'm enjoying it. It's given me a new adrenaline rush, and that's what I love about it.
All right. Well, listen, good luck with it, and good luck with young Jamie and Emma and all the baby minding.
That's a job.
Yes. No boredom in the Bow household. Thanks very
Certainly
much, Tommy.
Not.
And take care of yourself.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
And best wishes. After the break, Joanne will be reliving the highs of the FAI Cup final of 30 years ago.